Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing what we are calling our fantasy interview with Mormon Church President Thomas S. Monson. We kind of preface this interview by saying that imagine if we were given an invitation to have a private interview with Thomas Monson, and we would be allowed to ask any question that we would want, and that Thomas Monson would answer our questions with absolute honesty. What kind of questions would we ask? So we're going through some of these that have kind of bothered us for a long time and wondering how would Thomas Monson answer these questions. Now, you may have questions that you would like to ask Thomas Monson, things that have bothered you for a long time. And if that's the case, hey, feel free to send us some of those and we'll look them over. And if we get enough of these that we can do another show on this, we'll do a follow-up show and include some of the questions that our listeners may have. All they have to do is send them to contact@mrm.org. And you might also mention, if you do not want your name mentioned, please tell us that, and we will make sure that we don't mention your name. But if you'd like to send in a question, please do so. So anyway, let's start again with our questions, Eric.
Well, we're going to talk about plural marriage, also known as polygamy. And here's the question we have. Some have said that plural marriage was abandoned because it was made illegal. If plural marriage becomes legal in America, would you encourage members to practice it?
Now, hypothetically, what do you think he would say with that?
I would say it would have to be a revelation. I'm sure he would have something.
You think he would do that?
For instance, same-sex marriage, let's say it's legal across all 50 states, isn't going to be something that they're going to say, well, if that's marriage, then anything can be marriage. We can go back to our old standard that we left in 1890 when they abandoned polygamy.
A lot of people don't know that Section 132, which was always the section in the Doctrine and Covenants that Mormons had turned to support plural marriage, after they abandoned the practice, they actually tweaked the definitions of the phrase celestial marriage to say that it doesn't really speak of plural marriage. It was merely speaking of marriage for time and eternity. And of course, that had to be done in a Mormon temple.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to show that this is not true. This was damage control that was done by the First Presidency in the early 20th century. We can find plenty of statements by Mormon leaders where they are equating celestial marriage with plural marriage. If he was to say, well, we have to have a new revelation, I guess my rebuttal question to Mr. Monson would then be, well, why? It's already in your scripture.
And they do have Official Declaration 1 in 1890 that came to say that polygamy, plural marriage, is no longer allowed. But would you consider that to be a revelation?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. It's a declaration, and it's designated as such, I think, for a reason. Because when you read Declaration 1 at the end of the Doctrine and Covenants, it's more of a press release. It's not a revelation at all. In fact, I've never even seen the so-called revelation that was supposed to absolve Mormons of practicing polygamy.
And I believe that was completely a political move. 1896, they were allowed, Utah was allowed to become a state, but without having that, they would never have received that. But the Mormon leaders continued to practice even marry people all the way up until 1904 with the Reed-Smoot hearings. That's when it was officially done.
Call the Now We Really Mean It manifesto.
But the book by Richard Van Wagner, Mormon Polygamy, he documents all of this as being accurate. If you're somebody who doesn't know that, go back to your history and see that for 14 years, the church continued practicing literally D&C 132.
Now that question dealt more with practicing plural marriage in this life.
Yes.
We do know, even though Mormons tell us, well, polygamy is no longer an issue in our church, that it is certainly something that some Mormons are anticipating in the next life. In fact, Bruce McConkie, a Mormon apostle, made it very clear in Mormon doctrine that even though you can be excommunicated for having more than one living wife now, plural marriage was going to be reinstituted in the hereafter. And we've talked about it many times, and I don't mean to sound redundant, but I think it's important that people need to understand when the Mormon Church gives the impression that polygamy is no longer an issue, no longer a doctrine in Mormonism, they're not telling the truth. This is why this interview is a fantasy interview. We would hope that we would get absolute honesty, but we don't get absolute honesty when it comes to these hot-button issues. But as we've said, there's currently three Mormon apostles in the Mormon Church right now that are sealed to two women apiece. And they have every expectation in the next life to be married to those two women after they die. There's no doubt about this. That's why they get married for time and eternity, folks. It's supposed to work that way. So to say that they don't believe that plural marriage is going to be started up again is not really being honest with us.
Yet they still hold that women cannot hold multiple husbands, and so polyandry has never been allowed and still isn't allowed. But right. In the temples, they are still marrying for eternity these women who are the second wives after the first wife has died.
Men can be sealed to more than one wife, but a Mormon woman cannot be sealed to more than one husband. That's in the Handbook of Instruction, says that very clearly. On the same subject, though, another question we would like to say. Mr. Monson, do you anticipate taking another wife in the hereafter? If plural marriage is going to go on in the next life and the opportunity was afforded him, would Mr. Monson do that? And if so, how does your wife feel about that?
Ooh.
I would like to know what she might think about that. Because when we talk to a lot of Mormon women, they don't like the idea of polygamy. They are very much against it. I could see how maybe some men might like that idea, but it's not one that most women are attracted to.
Next question we would ask. Some say that you lower the age for missionaries for women from 21 to 19 and for men from 19 to 18 because you are concerned about dropping convert numbers. What was the real reason?
And I would leave it just like that. What was the real reason? You know, when you guys sit around the conference table discussing what you're going to be doing here pretty soon, what was the conversation like, you know, and what was the real reason? And I would tend to think that it was probably because of the dropping numbers. The Mormons like to tell us that they are growing quite rapidly, and there's no doubt that they are gaining more converts every year, but the convert baptism rate has been static since 1990.
I think a lot of the females are very successful, but many of them were getting married before the age of 21. In my mind, that was mainly made not so much for the men, I think to keep them so they were separated as far as the age went, but to bring more women in. And it worked. We saw at the end of 2012 that the numbers went up as far as applications, 486%, and they said it was about equal, men and women, whereas there are only about 1 out of 5 missionaries out there who are female, and then now we're going to get more females out there.
Switching gears a little bit. Mr. Monson, on September 6, 2011, BYU President Cecil O. Samuelson gave a talk saying that Matthew 5:48, and that's the verse that says, "Be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Samuelson said that this verse had nothing to do with sinless perfection. If that's so, why have so many LDS presidents given the impression that it is talking about sinless perfection and overcoming your sin? You look at The Miracle of Forgiveness, for instance, written by Spencer W. Right. Kimball, and actually was recommended reading by a couple of LDS authorities in General Conference. He uses that verse numerous times to stress how members must overcome their sins.
Well, chapter 6 of the manual being used right now, Teachings of Presence of the Church, Lorenzo Snow, has a whole chapter on perfection and agreeing, I believe, with the leadership of the church, not with Samuelson. And I think Samuelson was correct in his assessment, but that's not what Salt Lake City seems to be saying.
And there's that disconnect that we see oftentimes between what goes on at BYU and what goes on in downtown Salt Lake City. And remember, folks, a BYU president does not have the priesthood authority of a man that's working in the church headquarters building who calls himself an apostle or a member of the First Presidency. They just don't have that kind of clout. So when you hear BYU professors making certain statements, don't assume that they are speaking for the church, because they're probably not. They don't have the priesthood authority to do that. That is the job of the First Presidency. They are the ones that are supposed to tell the membership what is doctrine and what is not doctrine. But I agree with you. I think Samuelson, his interpretation of Matthew 5:48 was accurate, that it's not talking about sinless perfection. It's merely talking about how we behave with those that live among us who are believers and unbelievers. And if you look at the context, that's what it's talking about. We don't have a lot of time here, but I wanted to cover this. Mr. Monson, your church has made a big point about how local leaders don't get paid. Yet Doctrine and Covenants 42:73 says that even a lowly bishop, quote, should receive his support or a just remuneration for all his services in the church. So, Mr. Monson, why don't you pay them? If they're supposed to be compensated for this, why aren't they compensated? And I want to take this time to just speak up for the bishops. I might not agree with the message that they have or what they might personally believe, but I don't think anybody would doubt that the office of a bishop is a pretty tough job. You have to work your regular job, and then you have to handle the problems of a local congregation. And I'm sure that a lot of those men, if they're dedicated to that calling that they've been given, take it very seriously, and they put a lot of time into that position.
Well, and we know that others in the church get paid. For instance, we did on our website an article, What Does Unpaid Ministry Look Like? It's mrm.org/mission-president-handbook. And if you go on there, you'll see that we have discovered very conservatively that a mission president makes six figures. Easy. And if he's making six figures, I'm wondering what the higher-ups might be making.
That would be a good question to ask Thomas Monson. What does your salary package look like? They might say, well, that's not your business. Well, when you're telling people and they have the impression you're getting nothing, then it does become our business. Because if you really are getting something when you imply that you're not getting anything, then that's deception. And I think people need to know that.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, corresponds to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.